Okay, there's a couple of things to pray about tonight. Before we pray, let's look into the scripture. Our place is the book of Genesis tonight, the 22nd chapter. Genesis 22, and we'll start reading with verse 1. Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. And he said, Take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder, and we will worship and return to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. And Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. And they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram, and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place, The Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it will be provided. We have been for the past, 3 weeks, I suppose now, been considering faith's resolutions. You know, resolution is that thing that it's a firm decision to do something or not to do something. We heard, what was his name? Habakkuk say, I will rejoice in the Lord, regardless of what was going to happen. We will hear in time Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, and you'll chide me for using their Chaldean names, but we'll hear them say, no, we will not bow down. And so it is a firm resolution to do something or not to do something. Firm decision. Now before us here in this chapter is one of the richest places in Old Testament history. Theologically, emotionally, historically, it's just one of those places that few stories surpass it in what they're saying. And few illustrate for us as clearly this idea of faith being resolved, firmly resolved, to do something. Now we hear, or rather we don't hear, so much a statement from Abraham as we see it. We see it in action. We may not hear the statement particularly, though there is something here. But really, He will is what God is going to do. What does he say in verse 8? Abraham said, God will. He will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. Now, you know that that's prophetic, don't you? What more needs to be said about this except that this is a picture for us in the Old Testament, prefiguring so far in advance the coming of the Lord, God on the Mount of Provision giving the Lamb, and He provides it for Himself. He takes the action. He is the star. He is the mover, the motivator. He is the one that brings it all into place. And it is in place of that which we love, that which is dear, that which is essential, that which is critical even. Where was the promise going to come through? Not Ishmael. The Lord said, take now your son, your only son, whom you love. By this point, Ishmael was gone. And it was just literally at home, there was just the boy, Isaac. And take him. This is the one that the Lord had said, no, it's not going to be through Ishmael, because Abraham had asked, oh, that he might live before you. And the Lord says, no. And it's through Isaac your descendants will be called. And it's through Isaac the blessing will come. It's through Isaac that eventually the Christ will make his appearance. And so no less an important figure than this, God says about him, bring him to the mount and sacrifice him to me. And Abraham's conviction is what? God will provide the lamb. At least this is his answer to his son. Now, what do we have on Abraham's part? He has said God will do this. But the I will in Abraham is seen so clearly in the things that he does. The I will is enacted. The I will is not just the mouth. It is the feet, it's the hands, it's everything. We see it as it starts there in verse 3. Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey, and he took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. I'm sure his heart. Well, I don't know. I say I'm sure. But you who are parents, you will have to put yourself into his place and to say, what does the heart do in a situation like this? We hardly know. Now, we can ask some ladies and some fathers here and there, what was it like when you sent your child off to the mission field? And they said, it just like tearing part of me in two. And this might be the way Abraham felt. But what we see is when God says, you go do this, he rose early in the morning, he saddled his donkey, he took his two young men. What did he continue to do? He splits the wood for the burnt offering. And then he arose and he went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, verse 4. And what that means is that his resolution did not waver as he went from place to place. I've seen Hollywood portray this with George C. Scott playing Abraham. Anybody see that? You did. What they did, what Hollywood had George C. Scott doing, it, what he's good at doing, is just running around and just raging and storming and yelling and shouting to the mountains and all this sort of thing, venting his frustration, his fear, his grief. And that's funny, I don't remember what it's like, how they composed the man, but he goes up the hill. All I can remember is him yelling on the way. I don't know that for sure Hollywood got that right. I think George C. Scott played the role they gave him all okay. But I see Abraham with a bit more composure than that. Now, the heart may have been doing what the heart is prone to do. It may have been going around and around and flipping over and over. It may have been doing all this. I don't know. But I have the sense that Abraham walked there with purpose and with composure. And on the third day, he raises his eyes and he sees the place from a distance. That's not it. All right, what else happens? Verse 5. Now, Abraham is about to say something along the lines of I will. But what he says is this. Abraham said to his young men, you stay here with the donkey. I and the lad will go yonder. We will worship and what? Return to you. It's almost as if he's saying, we will go up and we will come back down. Now, that was probably the verse upon which the writer of Hebrews writes his memorable, his immortal lines. Now you listen to what he has to say about this. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. He who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, "In Isaac your descendant shall be called." Then he considered that God is able to raise man even from the dead. We had a discussion about this on the way to church tonight. Both of us agreed. Abraham was not going there looking for a ram caught in the thicket. He was going there with his son and a knife. And if the Lord didn't do something, he was going to go through with it. The angel stops him in mid-stroke, perhaps. The knife is raised to slay the son. But all the while, he is considering that God is able to raise men even from the dead. If I have to go through with this, if God makes me do this, it was so clear to the man, it will yet be through him. And so he says he receives him back from the dead as a type. A type of what? A type of Christ. Here is a picture of a father offering his son. Here's a picture of a father yielding up in obedience to the will of God, his son. And it portrays God the Father giving us his only begotten son, our Lord Jesus, in the work of sacrifice and offering. Now, we have been considering obedience on Sunday mornings, and the thought was presented, and forgive me, Jeff, for probably butchering this, but the idea was, from whence does obedience spring? In the Gospel of John, our Lord says it comes from love. If you love me, then you will keep my words. It's not that we have this rigid formula and then we buckle down and we're trying to say that maybe God will be persuaded that I love him. He said, no, the love comes first, and out of that comes forth all the obedience. It flows like a river. You go to the book of Malachi and you'll find that it's respect. Obedience comes out of respect. He says, a son respects his father. A servant respects his master. Well, where's my respect? The Lord says. And he's right in asking this, isn't he? It's a very convicting message that the prophet brings to the people. And then those who fear the Lord, they speak to one another and they say, let's obey. Let's do what we should, because they respect God. Now, I think we see another illustration here of another source, a wellspring from whence obedience springs. It's from faith. We obey because we believe. Abraham obeyed because he believed. God will provide for himself the lamb. We will worship and come back to you. He considered that God is able to raise men even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. Now, this is so pleasing to God. And what does the Lord say? By myself. This is verse 16 of our chapter. By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. Indeed, I will greatly bless you, and I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies. And in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. You read a section like this, and you want to say with the first disciples, O Lord, increase our faith. Let's pray.